May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 337. From Egypt lately freed, by the Redeemer's grace, a rough and thorny path we tread, in hopes to see his face. Hymn 337.
Let us read together from God's holy word. Two portions of scripture this evening. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And to whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, and as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for ever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth for ever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now let us read Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it has been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Let us now sing hymn 157. Mourning souls by sin distressed, lost and ruined, void of good, you can never be released but by faith in Jesus' blood. Hymn 157.
May the Lord help us in prayer. Kind and most gracious, almighty and holy Lord, we do plead that precious blood that does from all sin atone. O Lord, we do thank thee that there is that way made, whereby poor, vile sinners such as we can approach unto a holy God. O Lord, we do pray that each here may be given that interest in it, in that sin-atoning life, death and glorious resurrection. O Lord, how we need Thee to come and apply these things to our hearts. Oh, we need the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. We need that conviction of sin, to be shown what we are, to be shown a little of ourselves in the sight of a holy God, that we may abhor ourselves and repent in dust and ashes. O Lord, but we thank Thee that Thou dost not leave Thy poor people there. For Thou dost, Lord, lead them to a precious Christ. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lord, we thank Thee that there is indeed that fountain. Oh, do take each soul, we pray, and plunge them in that crimson ocean. Oh, Lord, we do pray that Thou art be with each here. Thou knowest, Lord, the concerns before Thee. Thou knowest the hearts of each. Thou knowest how to deal with each. We thank Thee that Thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Lord, we do pray that Thou art deal with each in love and mercy. We are sinners. Lord, make us each to feel it. Lord, be with those who feel it, Lord, and yet have not been brought to trust in Thee. Have not been led, Lord, by faith to Calvary. Have not gazed upon the dear Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, by faith, Lord, lead us each to Calvary, we pray. And there to see our dear Redeemer. Oh, Lord, may each being able to say, it was for me. It was my sins that hung him there. The soldiers pierced his side, 'tis true, but we have pierced him through and through. O Lord, we humbly beg forgiveness and pardon from all our sins. We pray, Lord, for if there are those, Lord, unconcerned. These things, Lord, that mean nothing. O Lord, may they be awakened by Thy voice. May they hear Thy voice, we pray. We do pray for from the youngest to the eldest, the young children, Lord, we thank Thee for them. We pray for them growing up in this evil world, that Thou would keep them, turn their eyes off from the things of this earth, keep Satan's allurements from them. May they have no desire to run after them. Lord, set their affections on things above. And parents, Lord, bringing up children. Oh, how we need much grace and wisdom and patience. Oh, may we be given strength equal to our day. May we be able to bring our children before Thee in prayer. And Lord, help us to bring them up in the right way. But Lord, put thy fear in their hearts. Lord, we pray for those older friends and the elderly. Lord, we each need thee. Oh, how we need thee day by day. Leave us not, neither forsake us, O God of our salvation. O Lord, keep us in our pathways. Those, Lord, who have been enabled by thy Spirit to make an open profession of thy holy name. Oh, keep us, we pray, our feet from slipping. Hold us fast and keep us near thee. We cannot keep alive our own souls. Oh, we painfully feel it, Lord. How hard our hearts can become, and how cold, oh Lord, kindle that flame in our hearts. May Christ dwell in our hearts by faith. Drive out Satan from our breast. Lord, restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us, we pray. Take it not, Lord, from the church and congregation here. May the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ ever be faithfully proclaimed from this pulpit. And may that joyful sound awaken many sinners round to come and fill the place. May it, Lord, please thee to fill this place and each of thy causes of truth up and down our land with praying, seeking, longing souls. Could it please thee, Lord, that there are those even in this neighbourhood, Lord, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Could there be some, Lord, in this neighbourhood? Oh, and bring them in. They must come. They shall come, Lord, if their names are written there. Oh, do bring them into this place. And may all the honour and glory be to thy holy name. Do build up Zion, we pray, in the day in which we live. Appear for us each in the unknown way. We think of the children at school and those at work, all the evils that surround us. How will we not make shipwreck of our profession? How will we endure to the end? O Lord, keep us looking up unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. May we be led to the foot of the cross, to cast all our cares there, the burdens of sins, our own wretched self, coming just as we are, without a plea, but pleading that precious blood of Jesus. O Lord, we pray that we may come unto thee aright. May our worship this night be acceptable in thy sight through thy dear Son and his merits. May our poor prayers gain answers of peace through our dear and great and glorious High Priest. And Lord, may there be some good things done this day, some eternal things, an eternal purpose in our gathering together. O Lord, may there be an outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, how we need thee to work at both ends, in the ears and the hearts of the poor hearers and this poor sinner in the pulpit. Pour in, Lord, we may be able to pour out. Oh, may none go empty away. May there be a portion for us each, a crumb of mercy, a handful of purpose we beg. O Lord, but do speak and do apply thy word. Oh, we need that application, Lord. we humbly beg it, feeling our unworthiness. We're unworthy, Lord, of anything other than thy wrath. But we plead that grace. Thou dost not deal with us as thou ought. O Lord, we pray all these things. We ask great things. We're great, needy sinners. Oh, we thank thee that thou art still on that throne, the Lord God omnipotent reigning. Thou said, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Oh, give us that faith to pray, believing that thou canst do all things. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Hymn number 153, the second part, and omitting verses 3 and 4. And why, dear Saviour, tell me why, thou thus wouldst suffer, bleed and die? What mighty motive could thee move? The motive's plain, 'twas all for love. Hymn 153, the second part, omitting verses 3 and 4.
Thank you.
Will you turn with me to the book of the Exodus, chapter 12? With the Lord's help this evening, I would like to speak to you from a few words in verse 13. Exodus chapter 12. And a few words in the middle of verse 13. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The whole verse reads, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Here we have our text is found in the book of Exodus this evening. Well, friends, what a glorious gospel text this is. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You will remember, I take it, the account from where our text is found. It's the Passover, that Passover night. It's the word of God given to the children of Israel in the days leading up to that momentous event when Pharaoh would thrust them from his land after those many plagues and the Lord hardening the heart of Pharaoh. We come to this point. And this event is one of the most momentous events that the Jewish nation celebrate, they still keep. And it points to Calvary. It points to the Lord Jesus Christ. It points to the Messiah. Now, the Jews will agree on that point, that it points to the Messiah. But friends, their eyes are blinded to see at this moment in time that indeed the Messiah has come. And we read in the verses before, the Lord commanding Moses to then command the people, he lays down some criteria for this sacrifice, that there's going to be a destroying angel to pass over the land. And that destroying angel will slay the firstborn of every creature. We're told of all the cattle and all the people, the firstborn. And it's not just Egyptians, it's the land of Egypt. The Lord does not say that they are saved, they are passed over because they're the children of Israel. There's nothing in their birth that warrants a hiding place. We spoke of this morning of Adam and seeking that fig leaf covering. Well, the name, the Jewish name, being a descendant by birthright, was not enough. There was one and only one hiding place, and that was beneath that blood-sprinkled doorpost and lintel. No other hiding place. It didn't matter how many times they had offered sacrifices in the past. It didn't matter how diligently they had followed the ordinances of the Lord. Their only safety, their only security, the only way of escape was sheltering beneath the blood of the Lamb. And there was a criteria laid down. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, without blemish. A lamb without blemish and without spot. And it must be killed. It must be slain. It must be put to death. And the blood, it must be applied. It wasn't enough just to slay the lamb. It wasn't enough just to see the blood in a basin. The blood must be applied. The blood must be sheltered beneath. Oh, do you not see a beauty here? When we consider those children of Israel, you know, that night, that there was many of them sheltering, all different ages. You know, there was young children, there was parents, and there were the grandparents. They were all different characters. They're all different dispositions. Oh, and do we not see a beauty? As Peter saw that sheet knit at the four corners, lowered from heaven, and it was full of all manner of creatures. There were creeping things and all manner of creatures in it. Oh, do you not see the blood brought Church of God, in all their varying ages and dispositions and sins? You know, there were some, no doubt there were some great sinners sheltering that night. But friends, the criteria was the blood. The criteria was to be found sheltering beneath the precious blood. And it was precious. That lamb, it was without blemish. Had to be selected out of that flock. It wasn't just any old lamb. Ah. And that night, you know, you think of it, the firstborn. Well, you say, well, I'm not first, I'm second, I'm third. Oh, but you see, no one would go untouched, would they? You know, there'd be parents that may be firstborn, there'd be grandparents that may be firstborn, there'd be siblings. Oh, think of those. Oh, do you think that night anyone could sleep? Knowing that the destroying angel was passing through? How many times do you think that the father went out? Is it applied? Can you see it? Have I put enough on? Oh, the fears. Oh, you know, those young children, that young firstborn, saying to his father, Father, have you applied the blood? Father, are you sure you've done it? Father, it's my only hope. Are you sure it's there? Moses said it must be there. Are you sure it's there? Let me see it for myself. Oh, what a mercy. Oh, to be brought. The children of Israel, why, they were favoured, weren't they? They were favoured that night. They were They were given that warning by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord speaking. You know, he spoke. And the Holy Spirit, working in their hearts, made them hear his voice, made them obedient to that command. You know, I believe this, that if the Egyptians had heard, they would have mocked and they would have scorned. It would have done them no good. You know, whom the Lord hardens, he hardens. Ah, but whom the Lord loves, doesn't he love them to the end? Ah, but, you know, they're a favoured. They're a favoured group of people to hear the voice of God, to hear that command, and to follow in humble submission, to have their hearts opened, to be made willing, to be made ready, to see it as they should see it, as their only hope, to be led, to be submissive, to be found, sheltering beneath that precious blood. And you see, we go on. This lamb, its blood is taken, it's applied to the doorposts and the lintels. And then there's to be the roasting of it, this dear lamb. Oh, it's to be roasted with fire. It's to be roasted with fire. All these things, friends, all these things pointing to a greater lamb, a greater sacrifice. And so we come to our text. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will pass over you. What a mercy. As we see Egypt, the Egypt in which we live. We're pilgrims. We're pilgrims journeying through this wilderness here below. Oh, in the Egypt in which we live. Oh, there's the Lord's people, one here and one there, the Lord working in their hearts, the Lord convincing and convicting of them of their sins. Oh, and they're brought to feel a need. Oh, they see the danger they're in. They see that the wrath that they're exposed to. Oh, they heed the warning. Yes, there's a destroying angel. It will pass over. It will pass through the land. And friends, it will. There's a day of our death. There's that day before us. Oh, to hear the Lord's voice. What a mercy. But oh, to hear the Lord's command. And oh, to hear the blessed remedy. There is hope. We're not without hope. Oh, there is the destroying angel coming. We all have sinned. We've all come far short. We've all transgressed the holy law of God. And if our sins remain unpardoned, if our sins remain unwashed away, if our sins remain with us at that great day, as we stand before an almighty God, oh, if we're not sheltering beneath the precious blood of the Lamb, why, we will perish as did the Egyptians in the day of the children of Israel. We read this evening the first epistle of Peter, and Peter here is speaking, of his hope and our hope. For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Oh, to see the blessedness in the Jewish Passover. But oh, to look to Calvary. You know, the Jews celebrate the Passover. And they still celebrate the Passover. And in a Jewish house, that there's the various ordinances that they go through in the Passover ceremony. And one of them is pouring out a cup of wine for the prophet Elijah, who they believe will announce and be the forerunner for the Messiah. Ah, but do we not see that forerunner in the dear John the Baptist? That voice in the wilderness proclaiming the Messiah coming. And friends, it's no coincidence. It's no coincidence. Our dear Lord Jesus Christ, he chose to lay his life down in that Passover week. As the Jews were commencing to celebrate the Passover, and he desired to eat that Passover with them, with his disciples, that night in which he was betrayed, he brought in that beautiful ordinance of the Lord's Supper, but it was at that Passover. He chose to lay his life down. Why? Why? Do you not see? Our Lord Jesus Christ was removing the old law, the covenant. He was abolishing the old rites and the rituals and ushering in the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Passover lamb. He is that lamb without spot, the firstborn. He's the only begotten Son of God. He's the dearly beloved Son of an Almighty God. That firstborn, that glorious Lamb of God, spotless, holy, undefiled, separate from sinners, a glorious man. And it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, we read. It behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, wherein in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. The dear Passover lamb. Oh, friends, may we be led to see our hope of heaven, our only hope of heaven, centering in this worthy Lamb of God that we read in the book of the Revelation. John, in his divine revelation, he sees a book. He sees a book that no man can open. And it's a book that contains all the things of this life. All the people, all the events, all things. And there's no man worthy to open it in heaven and in earth. And the angel, one of the elders, saith unto him, Weep not. John's weeping. He sees the book, but there's just no man worthy to open it. And John's upset in it. Weep not. See, in that book there's the salvation of all the Lord's people. In that book there's the names of all the Lord's people. In that book there's every name that's in that gift given by the Father to the Son. And in that book there's every event in their lives. And in that book is every event in their lives working towards bringing them out of Egypt, bringing them to the foot of the cross. Every jot and tittle, every item that's required to bring that wretched sinner to glory at last, and there's no man worthy to open it. And the elder says unto John, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. Then what does he see? This Lion of the tribe of Judah, what does he see? He says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain. A lamb as it had been slain. Our dear Lord Jesus Christ, this great Passover lamb as it had been slain. At that night when the Lord Jesus Christ brought in that beautiful ordinance of the Lord's Supper, he said to his disciples that he would not eat again drink again of the fruit of the vine and eat again of this Passover until I eat it new in my kingdom. And that's it, friends. The Jews celebrate their Passover night, their Passover, their 7-day Passover feast. It's exactly the same time every year as our Easter. It works on the same calendar as our Easter. But do we see the Passover for us? Do we see at Easter, as we look to Calvary, do we see the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as being our only hope and our only plea? Oh, to be brought to see that dear man. That dear man, he, in love to his people, in love to his Father, seeing in eternity past the wretchedness of each one of them. Not just Adam and Eve that we spoke of this morning, but seeing them all ruined. He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. He saw them all. And he saw all the filth that they would bring with them. He saw all their unworthiness. He saw that they couldn't do anything good in themselves. He saw that they had nothing good to bring. He saw that vast gulf between a holy God and these wretched sinners. Oh, what a vast gulf there is. Oh, what, could there ever be peace? We spoke this morning of the anger, the wrath of God. When looking upon sin, he cannot look upon it. Oh, how could these wretches, who cannot even be looked upon, they're so sinful, how can they be found in heaven with him at last? How can they sit round his table? How will he eat the Passover with them in glory? How will they, in love and in great joy unspeakable, be able to sit and eat that Passover feast with their dear Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, how will they be found there? There's such a gulf between them, isn't there? A sinner and a holy God. What a gulf there is. Oh, how can they be brought together? How can the two be made one? Oh, it's to be made nigh by the blood of Christ. It's the only hope, friends, for a guilty sinner. It's the only plea for a guilty sinner. It's plunge me, Lord, in that crimson ocean. And, you know, with such sinners, we left to ourselves, we wouldn't want it. Left to ourselves, we wouldn't have it. Oh, but blessed be his name, that he must bring his people there, despite themselves. You know, he must plunge them in it. He must. None of them, none of his people will be left out. None of his people will be lost. None shall pluck them from my Father's hand. And it's not based on their feelings. You know, some of the Lord's people, why? In their lives, how their feelings are up and down. How one minute they're up in the clouds and the next they're down. But friends, how often we're down, aren't we? We're feeling, really, I can't be one of the Lord's. Oh, I can't be. I keep falling, I keep slipping, I keep sliding. I cannot think one thought aright. Oh, but that foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows whose names are written there. He knows who those of his people that he came from heaven to earth for. And as he was led in love to lay down his life, he laid it down willingly. He laid it down willingly. But he laid it down for his dear people. And he willingly chose to lay it down as a sacrifice and to endure the wrath of his Father. That great wrath, the eternal punishment due for each one of his dear people's sins, laid on him. The soul who's led by the Holy Spirit to plead for mercy, he's taking the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and making it an offering for his sin. He's taking that precious life that the Lord Jesus Christ lived, and the Lord has imputed that robe, that life on him. But he's making the Lord his sin offering. The hymn writer says, my faith would lay a hand on that dear head of thine, while like a penitent I stand and there confess my sin. That the high priest, as he offered the sin offering, he laid his head on the dying lamb, and there he confessed his sins and the sins of the people. And friends, we too, we plead his death, we plead his precious life, we plead his glorious resurrection, but we plead that precious blood. We read in Isaiah, he hath put him to grief, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. His soul an offering for sin. Oh, it's his life instead of mine. Oh, may I be found sheltering my wretched all in him. May I not be left to the all-piercing sight of an almighty God. May my poor sin-stained soul be wrapped in that precious robe of righteousness. And may I stand justified. May I stand completely absolved from all sin. May we be brought by the precious blood of Christ to be presented before his Father as holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. We read in Colossians, that's the effect, that's the power of the precious blood of Christ. It cleanses from all sin, but you know, in the sight of an almighty God, God the Father at that judgment day, the Lord's dear people who stand complete in him will stand holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You think of that, friends. The precious blood of Christ. It can turn such a guilty sinner into a jewel in his crown. And the Father loves to hear his people. His people plead the name of his dear Son. He loves to hear his children plead that precious blood. Oh, he loves to hear his children cry, give me Christ or else I die. He loves to see a sinner brought by the Holy Spirit working in his heart to confess his unworthiness and his utter unmerited, unable to save himself, to confess his all unworthiness, to confess he has nothing to give, nothing to bring, to empty, see himself as empty. And then he loves to see the Spirit lead that poor sinner by faith to look away from himself and to look unto a precious Christ. And we see our Lord Jesus Christ as our great Passover. And when the Father sees his blood, he will pass over you. When you plead his dear Son's precious blood, that it's applied to your heart, that it's applied to your soul, oh, when he sees that, he will pass over. He must pass over. It's that all-atoning sacrifice. Oh, and friends, our Lord, how willing he was. How willing was Jesus to die, that we fellow sinners might live. Oh, how willing he chose to lay his life down at that Passover time. And he suffered that shame in that judgment hall, the spitting, the mocking, the cruel crown of thorns. We spoke of those thorns and briars that were ushered in the garden. They were ushered in with sin into the world, and how that cruel crown of thorns was plaited, the sin representing the sin of this world, planted on the dear head of the Son of God. Oh, and don't we crown him Lord of all. Crown him conqueror over sin. He burst the gates of hell. He finished that great work of salvation. On that cross, after enduring such cruel mockings and scourgings, he was stripped. And in humility and in nakedness, he was crucified. They parted his garments among them. You know, they stripped him naked. No covering. No fig leaf covering there. No robe to cover him. We will never stand exposed as he did. Oh, friends. You know, we're to walk sometimes a little of the pathway of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, there's some things we'll never walk. We will never walk into that Garden of Gethsemane. We will never suffer if we are the Lord's people. We will never suffer the turning away of the Father's face to that degree. We may suffer a little of it. But oh, to see a little of the Father turning his face away from his own dear Son and permitting the wrath and the anger to be vented on his dear son in the place of his people. Oh, to see hell and Satan onslaught the Son of God. Oh, none but Jesus. None but Jesus could sustain that weight, that load. None but the Son of God could bear it. The hymn writer says he bore it with strength enough, but none to spare. Oh, they're to be passed over. It was laid on him. It passes over these sinners. The wrath is laid on him. The eternity of punishment for my sin. Oh, it's passed over. It's laid on him. Oh, and to see him. The humiliation. To see the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Oh, to see those wounded hands and feet. To see that spear thrust in his side. Oh, to hear him say, "It is finished." Oh, to hear him say, "It is finished." To see him on that cross, and by faith, to be given a sweet hope that through his death comes our life. To see it's he instead of me. To see it's my sins that hung him there. To see the Lord Jesus Christ there, and by the Holy Spirit's working in our hearts to cry out, "Lord, remember me," and to hear him say, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." You know, friends, the mountain of sin, however big, why, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, he cleanses from all sin. And it's not the mountain of sin, friends, that the vital thing is to be found sheltering beneath that precious blood. Oh, to make it your only plea. Oh, may it be your desire tonight. You may say, "Well, I don't hear this voice." Well, we have a beautiful, and I'll close with this, at the end of the book of the Song of Solomons, we have the second to last verse. "Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it." The companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it. May we each hear this voice. May we hear the still small voice of the gospel. May we hear our beloved. "Behold, my beloved cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills." The voice of my beloved, she says. She says, "The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, of your sins, skipping on the hills." Your providential troubles tonight, those distresses that you have, they're just hills. You say, "Well, what about my sin?" Yes, it's a mountain. But oh, to hear him, hear his voice. She didn't see him first, but she knew he was coming. She heard his voice. And as Adam, he heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And so she hears his voice. Oh, and it's words of peace. Oh, and so her heart lifts. She says, "Behold, my beloved cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills." May he leap over and on the mountains tonight and come right where you are. And like that dear man at the pool of Bethesda, the Lord came right where he was. And the Lord said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
collections last Lord's Day were £695, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Wheatley will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. John Rosier next Lord's Day. And there will be a meeting of the cemetery trustees tomorrow evening at 7:30. And our friends at Oakington hold their Trinitarian Bible Society meeting on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 748. In darkness born, I went astray and wandered from the gospel way. And since the Saviour gave me sight, I cannot see without his light. Hymn 748.
Jesus, shine and then I can feel sweetness in salvation's plan, and as a sinner plead for grace through Christ, the sinner's hiding place. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.